The Scottish poet Robert Burns said, "And the best laid plans of mice and men often go ugly." In other words, go astray. I had no intention whatever of speaking on this subject this evening, but a series of circumstances has caused me to change the message. So kindly turn with me, please, to the Gospel by Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 3-2. Remember Lot's wife. The Lord will bless this little verse. Many years ago, I feel somewhat like President Reagan when he said he knew Thomas Jefferson. He'd been coming here so long. Many years ago, I spoke on this verse from this very pulpit. That night, Viola Underwood took the tape home to her mum and dad. And they played the tape. Bowen and Myrtle. Next day, I went to visit them. And Myrtle says, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you. We don't want to be like Lot's wife." This sweet brother Donald and I went to visit her. And she said that she either lost the tape or it was destroyed. If I could only get a tape on Lot's wife. This morning at 3 o'clock, my eyes popped open at 3 this morning, and a voice says, "Remember Lot's wife." So I feel constrained tonight to look with you at this very, very important subject. First of all, we must remember who the speaker is. The speaker is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling you and me to remember Lot's wife. And when he speaks, we ought to give a very ready ear to what he has to say. He says, "Today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart." He said, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, God says, "Incline your ear and your soul shall live." We must listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus. Let's recall the historical background to this particular verse. You remember Abraham was told by God to leave his native country, Haran, and to go out. He didn't know where he was going, but he was looking for divine direction. And on he went to the land of Canaan, taking with him Lot. God said he would bless Abraham. He said, "Look to the north, to the south, the east, and the west. All this territory will I give to you." But one day there was a famine in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went down to Egypt. We were talking the other night about the cancer of disobedience. God says, "Leave Haran and go to Canaan," but God never said, "Go down to Egypt." Because Egypt is a type of the world. And he goes down to Egypt. He says to his wife Sarah, "You're a beautiful woman." He should have told her that when he was courting her. "You're a beautiful woman, and King Pharaoh will kill me and take you to be his wife." But God is always in control. He sent a plague into the house of Pharaoh and delivered Abraham's wife Sarah from impurity. They came out of Egypt, but Lot never forgot what he saw in Egypt. He came out of Egypt, but Egypt never came out of him. And one day there was strife, you remember, between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. And Abraham, being the type of man that he was, he says to Lot, "You select the piece of territory, you take your pick, and I'll take the rest. And Lot, he looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan. It seemed to him as the garden of God, and like the land of Egypt. He came out of Egypt, but Egypt never came out of him. And Lot, you remember, went into those twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He sat in the gate, up to his neck in politics. He sat in the gate. And Genesis 13 verse 13 says that the men of Sodom were sinners before the Lord exceeding great. The wickedness of those twin cities was repugnant in the nostrils of a holy God. Friends, we're living in similar days. As it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I picked up a quote from a Roman Catholic priest in a newspaper in Detroit. He says, because of a new concept of sin, because of educational, psychological, and theological thought, a new concept of sin, whatever that means. Man says sin is an accident. God says it's an abomination. Man says sin is a blunder. God says it's blindness. Man says sin is chance. God says it's choice. Man says sin is a defect. God says it's disease. Man says sin is error. God says it's enmity. Man says sin is fascination. God says it's fatality. Man says sin is liberty. God says it's leprosy. Man says sin is a mistake. God says it's madness. Man says sin is weakness. God says sin is woefulness. And God's patience ran out with Sodom and Gomorrah. And God sent, you remember, two angels to warn Lot of the coming judgment. God is a gracious, kind God, and he always sends and warns of impending judgment. There was a man sent from God, and his name was John. The Lord Jesus Christ sent the disciples out one by one to warn of coming judgment. And the greatest messenger of all time was the Lord Jesus, and he came to warn. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. God sent two messengers down to Sodom to tell them of coming judgment. Be assured, my friend, the judgment is about to explode on this godless world. And as these two angels in masculine form came to the home of Lot and his wife, these wicked men of Sodom, the old and the young, came coming to the door. The same thing is in evidence everywhere today, these kind of men. And of course, to take a word out of our good English vocabulary, a lovely word, gay, which meant happy and joyful, and associate it with a wicked lifestyle. And Lot, how far can you get away from God? He said to these wicked men, don't touch these men, but here are my daughters. Do what you like with them. And the angel struck these old and young men blind. And they still kept coming to the door. And God said to the angels, flee. Flee from the wrath to come. And the message today, my friend, as God is about to explode his wrath on this godless world, to you is to flee from the wrath to come. Interested in what was going on in Sodom was Abraham. And Abraham was up on the mountain praying. He had an interest in those souls in Sodom. And he prayed. And he said to the Lord in this beautiful record of Abraham's intercession. He says, Lord, if there be 50 people in Sodom, righteous, would you spare the city? He prayed again. 45. 30, 20, and finally to 10. There was a possibility of 10 souls in Sodom that could be rescued. There was Lot and his wife. He had sons-in-law, plural tense, so he had 2 sons-in-laws married to 2 daughters. He had sons, plural tense, and the 2 girls that came out with him. 10 in all. And God with you. Flee for thy life, was the message given by the angel. So here tonight, God, the Lord is speaking. And he says to you and me, remember Lot's wife. Let me give you 7 reasons why we should remember Lot's wife. The first reason is that she knew the way of escape. And I'm convinced everyone ever raised in Spanish Wells knows the way of escape. Not in church attendance, but by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. She knew the way of escape. What a tragedy to know the way and to miss it. Cain, he knew the way. Raised in a Christian home, saw his father and mother cleansed in skins, the sacrifice of a burnt sacrifice. Blood was shed. He saw his brother Abel bring a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. He knew the way, but he wanted to do his thing. Oh, we read those words. Woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain. Balaam, the son of Beor or Bosor, he was a preacher. He knew the way. He addressed God as El Shaddai, the God of sufficiency. He referred to him as Jehovah. Elohim, he believed in the triunity of the Godhead. And he wanted to be in heaven when he died. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And tonight Cain and Balaam are in hell. They knew the way. Jude adds a third name, Korah. He was a prince of Judah. He saw his cousin Aaron going into the holy sanctuary. And he says, all the people be holy. We don't need a mediator. God caused the ground to open up and swallow Korah, and his children went down into the abyss. But we read that the children of Korah perish not. Such is the sovereign grace of our God. And the children were delivered. You the way. And you a man who was unsaved, and he pointed a man to the Savior because he knew the way. He knew the way. Secondly, why should we remember Lot's wife? Her husband was saved, and she was lost. I cannot think of anything more tragic. When families are broken up, God's ideal is that the circle be not broken by and by. You wouldn't think or know that Lot was a Christian by his conduct. Oh, in the mercy of God, in Peter's epistle we read that righteous Lot was vexed from day to day with the filthy conversation of the wicked. You and I, as God's children, we should be careful how we conduct ourselves. As parents, as grandparents, by example, to show our family and those around us that we really belong to Jesus. It's so important. And he was saved, but she was lost. One day in Albany, New York, conducting a gospel crusade there, a man died in Rhode Island, a veteran. His body was brought back to New York, to Albany, New York. Snow, 20 below zero. My colleague, lonely widow, the undertaker and his staff. That was all that was around the tomb. And her heart was breaking. Her husband died without Christ. What comfort could you give? She was saved. And he was lost. One occasion in Bridgeport, Connecticut, a man 65 years of age by the name of Sam Burke. He says to me, Mr. Dougal, my little grandson, 12 years old, is dying. Dying with cancer. He's going to heaven. And I'm bound for hell. But I want to change the direction, and I want to be sure that I'll be with my little grandson in glory. I pointed him to the Savior that night. And every time I went to Bridgeport, Connecticut, he'd be on his knees with the brethren praying prior to the gospel meeting. And he would say time and time again, Lord, give me some shortcuts into the Word of God that I've neglected so long. He wanted to be in heaven with his little grandson. Nothing more tragic. And one goes to heaven, and the other goes to hell. Another sad occasion in my experience, we're in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The lady says to my colleague and I, my husband is in the hospital dying with cancer. Please go and see her. We went to see him. He said, I am not interested. Well, I said, out of love for your wife as a fellow Christian, we've come to talk to you about the Lord Jesus. But being saved, I am not interested. Well, we say we're not leaving until we read and pray. And we left. Next morning after breakfast, we headed back for the hospital. One more attempt to reach this man in his suit. When we came through that door, he was absolutely infuriated. I told you yesterday, he said, I am not interested and I'm going to get out and live it up. My colleague says to him, Larry, you're going nowhere. You better get right with God. And we're not leaving until we read and pray. As my colleague prayed, I took a quick look at that man, and his face was absolutely filled with fury. And the last word he said to us was, clear out. Clear out. 6 hours later, he was gone. We were asked to take his funeral. What could you say? And as we gathered around that casket, that dear widow, and she's very precious, she pegged him down. She put her arms around him in the coffin. She says, Larry, it's too late now. It's too late now. Locke was saved. He was lost. The third reason why we should remember Lot's wife is this. She was the most prayed for woman in all the Bible. The most prayed for woman in all the Bible. As I mentioned, Abram prayed and he prayed and he prayed. But you see, friends, prayer is not enough. We can pray and pray, but you must take the initiative to come to the Savior. Him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what a patient God is ours. And I tell you again, when that wickedness rose heavenward, God said, this is it. I believe with all my heart that in similar days he's about to do something about it. This is it. In the days of Noah, Noah preached for 120 years of coming judgment, and they just mocked him. There was a disinterest in the message. There was a disrespect for the messenger. Look at that old fool building a ship on dry land. A diabolical display of evil. God says, Noah, I've had it. This is it. Come, thou and all thy house, into the ark. And I believe very soon we're going to hear him say, come up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And if you're not saved, you'll be left behind in this ungodly world. And once the church is gone, and praying father and mothers are gone, praying wives and praying husbands and praying children are gone, you can think, or can you think, can we calculate the increase in wickedness? People can't go to Miami today without putting their life in jeopardy. And once the Holy Spirit has gone and all the praying saints, I tell you, the devil will take over. And you'll be left in this miserable world to face the coming judgment. Fourth reason why we should remember Lot's wife. She had a special angelic visitation. Think of it. God sent two angels all the way from heaven as a final message of warning that he was going to destroy those cities. And this woman entertained angels and went to hell. With a dear friend up in New Brunswick, Canada, wife of a lovely Christian, he was a gentleman right down the line. Big job with Eton in Canada. He loved ice hockey. The playoffs were on that week. And we thought, well, we won't see him this week. But out of courtesy, he came to the meeting. I was concerned about him, went to see him, dressed him by name, and said to him, the Lord's been knocking at your heart's door. You've entertained the Lord's servants over the years. We've been in his home. Wonderful man. Not safe. I said, the Lord's been knocking at your heart's door all those years. Could you give me a reason why you keep a man? He said that night, I guess it must be I'm just not willing. I was shocked. He died without Christ. Angelic visitation. Divine messenger. Fifthly, why we should remember Lot's wife is she appeared to be saved, walking with the angel. They hasted them out, walking hand in hand with an angel, and went to her. Oh, we must remember Lot's wife. An unsaved friend tonight, if you're here in this gathering, you're a person most privileged to be with God's people, those who are saved by precious blood. We've known people who have gone to meetings such as this and they appeared to be saved, but never made it. Because they would not bow the knee, confess their sin, and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Appear to be saved. The sixth reason why we should remember Lot's wife is, she was lost inwardly before she was lost outwardly. God's instruction was specific, not to look back, to turn back to those cities. Flee for thy life. But sad to say, she loved the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Her heart was there in those wicked cities, and was not prepared to give up that wicked lifestyle and walk with angels and the people of God. Things haven't changed. People today would rather have the bar room than the blessed home. They would rather have the bingo hall and the blessings of the Lord. Lost inwardly before she was lost outwardly. Finally, the seventh reason why we should remember Lot's wife was this. She was almost saved, but lost. Almost saved, but lost. We've had people come and were so close to taking that step into the kingdom. One step, says the Lord Jesus, between you and the kingdom. You are not far from the kingdom. Just one step, and got so close that they turned back. Lost the golden opportunity of being saved. What a tragedy. Almost saved, but lost. Robert Murray McShane, that great evangelist, soul winner in Scotland, wrote so many beautiful hymns, said, "The frosts of an eternal night are settling down upon you. The sun of righteousness with western wheels is alighting upon you today. If the plough of grace cannot penetrate your ice-bound heart tonight, what likelihood will it pierce tomorrow? Too late. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. My friend, you might not be here tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, said the wise man Solomon. The wise thing tonight is this: if you're not saved, so near the kingdom, why don't you take that step in faith? The Lord is here and he's crying to you in love and in grace. Come unto me, as you've heard tonight. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. If you have a question, if you would like help, we can help you. We can't save you, but we sure know the man who can. Either in your home, in the office, even here, anywhere. Whatever you do, if you're not saved, get right with Jesus tonight. And he'll take you home to glory. Just last October, I had a very, very sad experience. I was conducting meetings in Reedville, North Carolina. Peggy called me and told me, my brother had been killed in a car accident. I was shot. I left Reedville at 4 in the morning, flew to Atlanta, and then to Tennessee to take his funeral. When I got there, the 400 people at the cemetery, a lone piper up on the hills playing his favorite hymn, Amazing Grace. For a Scotsman to hear the pipes and the hymn Amazing Grace, I was emotionally drained. I opened up my Bible just to take a few thoughts from his favorite Psalm 23. The secret of a happy life. The Lord is my shepherd. The secret of a happy death. Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. And the secret of a happy eternity. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His wife told me they were traveling along, looking at the foliage, and suddenly they hit a pothole, and the car went out of control, and his side hit a bridge, and his whole side was crushed in. She only got a whiplash. She tried to give a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He put up his arm. He says, Jesus! And it's gone. The Lord gave him a vision. Gave him a special escort. Right to glory. That's the way to die. In the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Our Father, these are solemn things to discuss. We confess the limitation in handling them. But again, we do pray that thy sovereign spirit will take thy word and back it home with divine power to the salvation of some soul or souls in our gathering tonight. Oh, our Father, we do pray especially for loved ones who are still in the danger zone, that they'll flee from the wrath to come, flee for the light, and find refuge in that city of refuge, the Lord Jesus, and be saved for time and all eternity. We ask these things, giving thee thanks and in anticipation of blessing and truth, in his own precious name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing?